the third day since he died, and it was said he would arise then from the grave. This Lamb came forth. Oh, I have reason to rejoice. Chose the place, he chose the hour that he would rise by his own power, the sacrifice 3 days ago. And now praise God, the
testing 1 2 3 4 5 testing. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. We got a big program today. I need everybody to be praying. We're going to go for 2 hours, and we have so much to talk about.
Before this
right, we're going to be getting started right after this. I hope you're ready.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living, since I've been forgiven. Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ.
Aren't you glad to be saved today?
He'll save you today. Then look back.
You might have 99 problems, but hell is not one of them.
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No,
no, no, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. How about you?
Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. And I'm not going to
Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this very special two-hour edition of the Prophecy News Podcast today. From Billy Graham and Rick Warren to Mohammed bin Zayed and Pope Francis, we're going to give you the complete history of Chrislam. For nearly 14 years, and that's a long time, we here at Now the End Begins have tracked the rise of Chrislam from its early days when Rick Warren was promoting it under Pope John Paul II, all the way up to 2019 when the covenant, and yes, that's what we call it, the covenant, was signed in Abu Dhabi, to this very moment yesterday where we witnessed the grand opening of the Palace of Chrislam that the world calls the Abrahamic Family House and the one world religion of Antichrist. Now, am I telling you that we are really that far along on the end times timeline? You better believe it. And if you don't, this podcast just might make a believer out of you. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. Pay attention, John MacArthur. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone." Not might. "He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we bring you everything that you need to know about Chrislam, whether it's the Abrahamic Family House, the Abraham Accords, the false teachers of the Laodicean Church who have partnered with Rome to bring it all about, or just what a busy boy Mohammed bin Zayed has been these past couple of years. Today, we're going to give you the complete timeline of the rise of Chrislam, including the role that Billy Graham played in its creation. The One World Religion of Chrislam is here. People, its main office just opened, and they are ready to do business. Today, we're going to answer every question you've ever had about Chrislam and the One World Religion in the end times. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for all these that you've gathered here. Chat room is filling up beautifully. Thousands of people listening around the world. And Lord, we're glad to be saved today. We're grateful, Lord, to be serving you. And Father God, we're praying for Annetta, who needs a complete healing after a stroke. Robert Wiley, who is battling ALS disease and needs prayer. We have pregnant ladies today, Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle, Gary Tatterson's daughter, Kayla, expecting twins. Jeanette's cousin, Andrew, had a stroke, and we're praying for him. Rob Beattie and colon cancer. Kate needs prayer concerning her housing situation. Mark Saxo would like prayer for his son, Joseph, to return to the Lord. Charlie Cameraman is recovering from hip surgery. Laura Campoy is still recovering from a motor scooter accident. Clayton Perry has side effects of chemotherapy. And the LaPiana family, Lori Ann, Chris Hart, and myself, we all have unspoken prayer requests today. If you have one, please post it into the chat room. Tracy Riddle, she's battling breast cancer. Paul Van Badham says that I am Ricky Gouda Van Badham's brother. Pray for her daughter, Norcha, and please pray for me. We're praying for Gail to have a full recovery from her leg and hip problem. Karen says, please pray for my dad, Jules, and he's recovering from pneumonia. That's clearing up, but he needs to get saved. Jill Puckett says, please pray for me. I'm losing my vision. Matt is in urgent need of prayer for salvation. Sarah Shine says, please pray for my children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. And please pray for a good result with an upcoming CT scan in April. Amen. Marie C., I knew there was another unspoken there. Carol Jane is in the hospital until March, and she needs our prayer. Please pray for my friend Dave and his girlfriend Jill and their ministry at Kinnelon Baptist Church. They've started a nursing home ministry. Mia from Texas, and I think I have a, that's actually a praise report. I don't want to say something that's not true here, but I could have sworn somewhere she prayed to get saved. I hope that's right. Yes, absolutely. Praise report. Last week, Mia said that she was listening with her Aunt Maggie. And would we please pray for her salvation? Well, we did more than that. We prayed, but then we stopped the entire broadcast. And I preached the gospel to Aunt Maggie directly. And we rejoice with Mia and Maggie that she has prayed to get saved. Amen. Amen. Linda and Danielle are headed to Germany, want prayer over that trip. Adrian P. Breda and his wife have an unspoken. Jeanette has an unspoken. I think we need to put all the unspokens into a single place. Karen says, I got that one. CJ, please pray for my mother to get saved. Absolutely. Lilo Lady says, asking for prayer for an impossible situation in my future. And please pray that the Lord will intervene. Amen. Pam says, please pray for my sister Kim. She is not saved, lost weight, no desire to eat. Juanita Allberg from Saskatchewan, Canada, asking for prayer from spiritual attacks. Carol Morin's uncle Marion had brain surgery to remove a tumor 2 days ago. Please pray for his salvation and for his recovery. Chelsea B says, my friend Derek, he's drinking a lot. He needs the Lord. He's listening to the podcasts. So please pray for Derek Johnson. Nancy says her friend's son, Wyatt, has huge lumps under his arms, could be lymphoma. And please remember Wyatt in your prayers. Maddie Luck says, I have been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. Kind of like Parkinson's. My daughter and I listen to your programs. We are saved. We'll meet you in the rapture. Amen. So please remember Maddie Luck in your prayers. Anna Galvez, my daughter-in-law is taking radiotherapy for stage 3 cervical cancer. Please keep her in your prayers. Pastor John Ray in the Philippines, please pray for our church member. Her mother died at the age of 94, and please pray that we'll be able to reach more souls for the Lord. Amen. Berta Crabb, prayer request. I fell again on Monday. My legs just disappeared taking out the trash, and the doctor is not sure that it's sciatica. Whatever the case may be, please asking that the Lord would take away the pain. Amen. Annabelle, please pray for me for healing. A lot of pain in my upper back for 3 days. Aunt Nancy, please continue to pray for Brandon and Michelle for salvation. Amanda and Mike have an unspoken. I knew there was one more. Thank you and God bless. Amen. Rebecca Lynn is asking prayers for her friend Joel Smith. He is unsaved and just had a massive stroke. Praying for healing and for salvation. Kathleen from New Jersey. And her daughter, Kayleen. Kathleen reached out to me a couple of days ago, and she has such a heart for the Lord. And she told me that her husband had passed away, and it's been rough on her and her daughter. So please pray for Kathleen and Kayleen from New Jersey, and for comfort, and that the Lord would give them both direction on this new phase of their life. Amen. Hang in there, guys. Humble One Forever, praise report. My daughter spent 4 days with me from London and is headed home with a Ruckman Reference Bible and a fresh message of the good news delivered with tears. Amen, amen, amen. And here it is. I knew I wasn't making it up. Mia from Texas, praise report. I came home Monday from Aunt Maggie's. I believe she got saved. Before I left, I looked in her eyes and asked her who died to pay for her sins. She said, Jesus did. Amen, amen, amen. Kentucky Jeffrey has a birthday today, and we're going to wish him a happy birthday. April, she had a birthday yesterday. Let's see what we got from the chat room. Berta Crabb. My leg problems are not caused by an autoimmune disease, and praying that the doctor would have wisdom about that. Ron Wooter, while I was walking the dog, we came across an elderly woman with no gloves in the freezing cold. She twisted her knee. She was in so much pain, I almost cried for her. But Ron says he helped her get up the steps. And I prayed with her and thank God that he had led me to her when no one else was around. I'm going to stop in on her later. Amen, brother. And bring her a Bible and a gospel track. Amen. Amen. Carol Jane has a birthday today. Lori Ann's daughter, Haley, has a birthday today. April, yesterday. Kentucky Jeffrey, today. Mitch says, please continue to pray for my Aunt Kathleen, for her health and salvation. Also, our daughters, Rachel, Hannah, and Naomi. Wow, there's a biblical bunch. None of them are walking with our Heavenly Father and need to get saved. Amen, brother. Rob says, Laura has MS, long-term COVID, weakened immune system, and not doing good. Praying for her salvation. I gave her a Bible and some tracts yesterday. Palmetto State guy says, good morning. Always good to see everybody. Please pray for my mother, Eunice, starting out with a different antibiotic today. She has a UTI. Prayers for you all. Thank you as always. Amen, brother. Carol Jane, please pray for my friend Jackie battling severe gout. Let me tell you something. 2 spoonfuls of apple cider vinegar morning and night mixed in a glass of water or fruit juice. I promise you that will take away the gout. God made the apples. Apple cider vinegar is from God's medicine chest. We will definitely pray for that. But my younger brother had very, very bad gout, and he was able to have 100% reversal of his symptoms with apple cider vinegar. Aunt Nancy, please pray for my son, Brad. Cheryl H., yes, I do have an unspoken prayer. Guest Enoch Elijah, please pray that my sister Morgan receives Jesus and that my dad recovers fully from his sickness. Amen. Mike Hensel, please pray for my mom. She has lung cancer. Very sorry to hear that, brother. We will pray for her, and we will put her on the Sunday list as well. Jeff says, I'm having knee replacement surgery on Tuesday. Please pray. Joy Piper, my daughter Carolyn's husband had a silent heart attack, 2 main blockages, going to have surgery in 3 weeks. He is 54. Please pray. Amen. Bruce Bridges, praise report, my family seems to finally be starting to get over the sicknesses we have struggled with for the past month. Amen. Also, please remember one of my employees, Dara. She works here at the Mudflower Studios. She's been diagnosed with the flu, and she has it pretty bad. So please remember Dara in your prayers. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord. Our hearts are full, and we're so glad, Father God, to be saved and serving today. Lord, a lot of people need a healing. MS and COVID and diseases and infections and cancer and just everything, Father God. And Lord, I'm so glad that you've made this ministry a praying ministry and that everybody that comes in understands that. And it really encourages me so much when we pray for 15, 20 minutes at a time for these really important prayers. And the number of people in the chat room goes up and not down. People are not clicking away just because we're starting a prophecy news podcast in prayer. And Lord, that's to me, that's real Christianity. Absolutely. Dennis Giacomino, please remember all my friends in East Palestine, Ohio, after that great train wreck and the chemical spill. And Lord, you are a God that hears prayer, answers prayer, and works and moves on a billion different levels with every waking second of the day. And we come before you and we commit this time to you, these prayers to you, these praises to you, and ask you to work and move as only you can. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So for everybody having a birthday today, happy birthday.
It's your birthday. It's the day that you were born. It's the day your mama brought you home. It's a special day. Let us celebrate. Happy birthday.
right. Happy birthday, everybody, and welcome to this very special two-hour edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, we are talking about something, and I want you to pay attention to this now. I am not patting myself on the back, not at all. But as a ministry that follows the Lord and believes the book and believes that all the prophecy that God said would take place in the end times, we believe all of it. We're going to take a little bit of a victory lap today with the Lord, because he put on my heart a little over 12 years ago to start warning people about something that I called Chrislam. And what is Chrislam? It is the counterfeit Christian church, which is the Roman Catholic Church, and Islam united together. Now, we live in very, very rapidly changing times, and nobody in 2023 has any trouble at all understanding that Pope Francis and the Roman Catholic Church have united. It's called the Declaration of Human Fraternity. It created the Abrahamic Family House, and it created the Abraham Accords. And all of this has come out of a covenant that was written by Mohammed bin Zayed, approved by Pope Francis, and signed in 2019. So, today we're going to take a little bit of a victory lap, because everything that we have been warning you about Chrislam since about 2011 or 2012. For over a decade, we have been warning you about the coming one world religion. Yesterday, they opened up their headquarters in Abu Dhabi. Mohammed bin Zayed paid for it. Pope Francis oversaw it. And yesterday, they opened up something called the Abrahamic Family House. Now, you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and go to our Middle East section, and you will see dozens and dozens and dozens of articles about the Abrahamic Family House. You will see hundreds of articles about Chrislam. And today, I want to show you how we got to this point. So, am I telling you that the one world religion that the Antichrist is going to inherit, am I telling you that it's here right now? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Exactly what I'm telling you. It is not coming in the future. It is here right now. The Antichrist is coming in the very near future, but his system is in place. His religion is in place. And his headquarters just opened yesterday. We have been tracking this month after month, year after year, for the past 12 years, and yesterday, everything came to a head. So, today, I want to show you some stuff about Chrislam. I want to show you some stuff that is going to absolutely make your eyes pop out and your jaw hang open. And I'm going to show you how we came to this position. So, naturally, let's start, get Revelation chapter 3 in one hand, and get, let's see, what else do we need here? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in your second hand, and in your third hand, give me 2 Timothy chapter 4. So that's Revelation 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, and 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, we are going to take it by the numbers. We're going to stick with the book. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power. We have the word of a king. And I hope you have it as well. And let me just say, if you have an NIV Bible, if you have an ESV, Good News for Modern Man, the Message, the Cipher Bible, the Legacy Standard Bible promoted by John MacArthur, if you have any of those Bibles, if you'll stand up right now and take that Bible and throw it in the garbage, or better yet, recycle it so that somebody can make a King James Bible out of the paper, if you will take those Bibles, NIV, ESV, RV, ASV, The Message, if you'll take them and throw them in the trash and then go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the free link, Lorianne or Jeanette will put the link into the chat room, we will replace your Bible with a King James Study Bible at no charge to you. No charge for the Bible. It's a $25 book. No charge for the shipping. And we won't even put your email on a mailing list. 100%, no strings attached, completely for free. That's how strongly we believe about the King James Bible. Are we a King James Bible-only ministry? We absolutely are. We will be very happy to replace your rubber sword with the King James Bible. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, I want to show you something, and it's important that you understand. Yeah, I'm going to play all the audio clips that are going to knock your eyes out, but let's establish a biblical foundation first. That's what they're not doing at the Asbury Revival. They have female preachers. They're rolling in the aisles. They're casting out demons. They're cascading handfuls of money down from the balcony. It's rapidly turning into a circus. And one main reason for that is they didn't start out preaching the gospel. They certainly didn't start out with the King James Bible. But I don't mind that so much as I mind they didn't give you the gospel at all. So we are going to give you the biblical steps of how we got to where we are right now, watching the one world religion of Chrislam coming into full bloom. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, that's Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Now, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the Laodicean church. That's the last church before the rapture. That's what's happening over at that Asbury Revival. It's Laodicea. It is not a working of the Holy Spirit. It is an end times deception. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. The rapture of the church shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So what is Paul saying? Two things take place before the rapture. There is a falling away from Bible doctrine, and there is the revelation of the man of sin. I didn't say the Antichrist. I said the man of sin. He becomes the son of perdition after the rapture. Just like Judas in John 13, Judas was always the man of sin. But then the day came when he dipped the sop in the dish and he became the son of perdition. There was a moment there. It is a two-stage process. And we've talked about that many, many times on our Bible studies. And I don't have time to go into that today. Now, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to show you, according to the Apostle Paul, and if you remember what Peter said about what Paul wrote, and this is why the Roman Catholic Church doesn't like Paul. This is why none of the cults follow the Apostle Paul. They all pick somebody else. But look at what Peter says. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy 4. And look at what Peter says in 2 Peter 3. Look at verses 15 and 16. And you might want to make a note of this. Peter says in verse 15 of 2 Peter 3, that account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, okay, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now, what are some of the hard to be understood things that the unlearned and the unstable wrestle with? Oh, just the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the mystery of the body of Christ, the doctrine of eternal security. Those are all things that the Apostle Paul wrote. And Peter says, you better get a handle on that scripture. And Paul gives you the key in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The reason why some people don't see a pre-trib rapture, you don't rightly divide. The reason why some people don't see eternal security, you don't rightly divide. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're almost done setting the table here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul is going to give young Timothy, who is a type of the church, he's going to charge him with something. And what is Paul going to charge Timothy with? I'll show you. 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a serious charge. Paul is calling on God the Father and Jesus Christ to stand on either side while he says these words to Timothy. You think it's important? I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what they don't have at the Asbury Revival. No doctrine. That's what they don't have at Joel Osteen's church. No doctrine. That's what they don't have at Rick Warren's Saddleback Church. No doctrine. Paul says that one of the things that's going to be conspicuous by its absence, when I was a kid, and I would go down to the Emanuel Einstein Public Library in Pompton Lakes, and I would check out a book. I mean, I have loved to read books since I was 10 years old. And I would go down to the library, and I would check out a book, and I would keep it longer than I was allowed to, and I would get this postcard in the mail. And it would show a row of library books, and there would be one missing with a big arrow and an exclamation point. And the top of that card says, "The library book that you recently checked out is overdue and is conspicuous by its absence." And that's the type of card I used to get from my local library when I was a little kid checking out books. And Bible doctrine is conspicuous by its absence, as the Apostle Paul said in verse 3. He said, "Timothy, let me tell you about the future. Let me tell you about the closing moments of the church age. Let me take you about 2,000 years ahead and talk to you about the time will come when they," the church, not lost people. Paul's talking to believers, but he's talking to people who are living in the Laodicean church age. We have done multiple Bible studies on how John and Paul like to tag team together, and they absolutely do, and they teach the same thing. But Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." They got to hear something new. They got to have something flashy. They got to have a working of the Holy Spirit that they can put their hands on. It's got to be more exciting. You know what? Bible doctrine's not exciting, but it's amazing, and it's powerful, and it's prophetical. And when you understand that, it becomes exciting. At least it's exciting for me. And Paul says, "They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth," 2023, "and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Now, Charles Spurgeon, before he died, said this. He said, "The time will come." That's Paul saying it. No. Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon said that the time will come, instead of preachers and shepherds feeding the flock, you're going to have clowns entertaining the goats. That's what Charles Spurgeon said. Instead of shepherds feeding the flock, you're going to have clowns entertaining the goats. And that's exactly what we have in 2023. Now, we've set the table. I've told you about the Laodicean church age. I've told you about the falling away, the conspicuous absence of Bible doctrine. Let me take you to one more section before we jump into today's podcast on Chrislam. Because the only way that you can get to a Chrislam situation is you have to gradually erase Bible preaching, Bible doctrine, and Bible teaching. You have to get people off of that dreaded, dry, dusty, archaic old King James Bible. And over the last 70, 80, 90, 100 years, that's exactly what has taken place. So, turn back to Revelation chapter 3, and I want to show you one more thing. I gave you all the bad news. I gave you the red pill. Now let me give you a little milk. Let me give you a little sweet stuff. Let me give you a little bit of honey now. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, we see the prophecy of the last church before the rapture, and they have gone not hot, not cold, they are lukewarm. and they are not getting anything done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who have ears to hear this, for those of you who have hearts to receive this, let me give you the good news before we get started with the train wreck that is Chrislam. Revelation 3, 20 through 22, just coincidentally, 20 through 22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And this is the last Bible verse ever addressed to the church on earth. Highlight it. Take your Bible brights. Mark it up. Put stars next to it. This is the last thing ever spoken to the church on this earth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's break it down. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. In the context, what door? It is the door of the Laodicean church. It is not the door of your heart. This is not an invitation for salvation. Behold, I stand at the door of the Laodicean church and knock. If any man or woman hear my voice and open the door, what does that mean? You are in the Laodicean church age, but Jesus says you do not have to be part of the Laodicean church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And even at this late hour, Jesus is knocking at the door of the Laodicean church, which is to say the body of Christ around the world. And he is saying, I'm knocking. If you'll open the door, I'm going to come in and sup with you and you with me, and I'm going to give you a job to do. You know what? I answered the knock on that door, and the job that Jesus gave me was Now the End Begins. That's something, isn't it? I answered the knock on that door, even in my 2009 backslidden condition. I answered the knock on the door, and he said, guess what? I have a job for you. Turned out to be Now the End Begins. And in 2018, he knocked on the door again and says, I want you to start handing out free Bibles to people. And then in 2020, he said, it's time to officially create the free Bible program. And God has blessed that to a degree which stuns me. It is far beyond anything I ever prayed for or anything that I ever asked for. And I know that we haven't spoken much about the free Bible program since I got sick with COVID, but today is the day that we jump back into the free Bible program. Today is the day that I remind you, and I'm going to show you how close we are to the rapture today. If you want to get something done for the Lord, if he's knocking on the door of the church and you're willing to open that door, why don't you come join us at Now the End Begins? Why don't you help us to hand out more free Bibles? And after I show you what I'm going to show you today, I think it's going to motivate you to a very, very high degree. We need you to pray for the free Bible program. Lori's going to put the link into the chat room. We need you to donate to this program. We have a lot of money that we have to raise because we're working to send 1 million Bibles out. Now, don't let that overwhelm you. We've already sent out 116,000. That's pretty good, isn't it? So please pray about the free Bible program. But the point of what I'm telling you is the good news about Revelation chapter 3. Jesus said that, yes, the last church is going to fall away from the truth. The last church is going to fall away from teaching and preaching Bible doctrine. But I'm going to have my people. I'm going to have my remnant.
and I'm going to knock on the door of that lukewarm church, and many are going to open the door. And every one of you listening right now, well, the vast majority of you, I know we get a lot of lost people who listen, and I thank God for that because they get saved. But the vast majority of you have answered the knock on that door. And today I want to show you just how close that we are to the rapture of the church. And I want to show you that yesterday, and again, we're taking a little bit of a victory lap today. And we're thanking the Lord because 12 years ago, he put on my heart to warn people about Chrislam. 12 years ago, nobody knew what Chrislam was. God gave us the inside track years and years before the rest of the world even knew about it. When Pope Francis signed his Declaration of Human Fraternity in 2019, that was 7 years after we had been warning people about Chrislam. So, what I am so excited about is that God put on my heart to expose Chrislam as the coming one world religion. Their world headquarters opened yesterday. And so, when I look at what God put on my heart, I tried to be faithful and do what he told me to do. And now we're seeing that all of that is coming true. Well, that encourages me about the rapture. For 32 years, I have believed that God was going to come get us. And for a long, long time now, I've been looking every day up in the eastern sky, waiting to hear, come up hither. And just as God called us 12 years ago to warn about Chrislam, and yesterday it all came to a head. Well, I want that to give you amazing, amazing confidence that everything that God has prophesied is going to come true, will come true, including the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. You know, we did an article, and it's really kind of funny if you think about it. There was an article on CNN.com. Now, you think to yourself, right? What does CNN, next to MSNBC, it is the worst news outlet on the face of the earth. They are not worse than MSNBC, but they are definitely in second place. So what does CNN have to do with the rapture? Well, a couple of months ago, they published an article talking about how people have rapture anxiety. And they did a whole article on rapture anxiety. And it says here, Darren Slade, the president and CEO of the Global Center for Religious Research, has been studying religious trauma across several faiths and denominations for years. This is a real thing. It's a chronic problem, he says, of rapture anxiety. This is a new area of study, but in general, our research has revealed that religious trauma leads to an increase of anxiety, depression, paranoia, and even some OCD-like behaviors. I need to say this prayer of salvation so many times. I need to confess my sins so often. Now imagine, he continues, you are taught that at any minute you could be left behind on earth. Now, I don't have to read the rest of the article, and I don't want to waste the oxygen that it would take to do it. But you can go to nowtheendbegins.com, go to the rapture section, and I put the link into the chat room. I think you know how the rest of the article goes. And I just find it so funny that when an outlet like CNN is trying to get you to believe that the rapture is not true, that shows you just how very close to the rapture that we are. So, 12 years ago, God had me start writing about Chrislam. And yesterday, the world headquarters of Chrislam, endorsed by the United States, by the United Nations, supported by the Abraham Accords, supported by Israel, supported by Mohammed bin Zayed, it opened yesterday to great fanfare. And everything that we warned about is happening. So I want you to have that increase your faith in all the rest of the things that we talk about, because God's word is true, and all these things that God said would take place in the end times is going to take place. And with that, let's get started. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the one world religion of Chrislam. And we have a section on our website that we call the Mystery Babylon section. And if you want to get some really, really good books about the things that you're going to hear me talk about today, there is a book that I especially want you to look at. It's called Billy Graham and His Friends. And it is an absolute stunning book. You can go to BibleBeliever.com, and that's our bookstore. And this book called Billy Graham and His Friends will show you, with hundreds of footnotes, it is going to show you the long, slow slide of Billy Graham into apostasy. Now, where did this relationship between the Roman Catholic Church and Islam come from? Well, I could probably go farther back, but I'm only going to go as far back as Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham started out in 1947. He started out preaching, teaching, and believing the King James Bible. But when you get to 1955, 1956, and he has now become a Christian celebrity, he begins to make a relationship with the Roman Catholic Church. And over the decades, that relationship would grow and increase to the point where Billy Graham was being used to merge the true church with the counterfeit church. So when you look at all this cooperation between the Roman Catholic Church and Islam, and all this cooperation between the evangelical and charismatic church and the Roman Catholic Church, that is all due to Billy Graham. So let's take a listen to some things that Billy Graham said in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I want you to hear it from his own mouth. I don't want you to send me an email saying that I'm slandering him, because I'm not. I am reporting on what he said, and I'm going to let you hear him say it. Take a listen to something that I call Billy Graham's slow slide into the falling away.
Unless we bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ and turn our life, our burdens, our problems over to him.
Billy Graham is the most famous evangelist in the world, and his power of persuasion has softened the skeptics, who used to call him the hot gospeler from the Bible Belt.
1934, I had received Christ into my heart as Lord and Savior, and my life had absolutely been transformed in a very brief time, and I wanted to share it.
Robert Schiller, who made a special trip to Rome to ask the Pope's blessing on the building plans for his Crystal Cathedral, and the Reverend Billy Graham, who has called the Pope the greatest religious leader of the modern world and one of the greatest moral and spiritual leaders of the century.
So the clip starts out reminding you of how great Billy Graham started out. But by the time you get to the 1970s and 80s, Billy Graham is hanging out with the Word of Faith movement. He's hanging out with the fringe charismatics, and he's absolutely hanging out with Pope John Paul II and the Roman Catholic Church.
Together, Schuller and Graham, who influence millions of people around the world, seem to openly support the Pope's ecumenical movement. Listen now and judge in yourself whether the Christ they preach is the Christ of the Bible or the universal Christ of the New Age.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
Well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there's the body of Christ, which comes from all the Christian groups around the world, or outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ.
I'm just going to stop Dr. Graham right there. How can you be not conscious of the fact that you are part of the body of Christ? How can you be part of the body of Christ if you don't know Jesus Christ? This is not Bible teaching. This is one world universalism. That's what Billy Graham believed.
And I don't think that we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time. I think James answered that, the Apostle James, in the first council in Jerusalem, when he said that God's purpose for this age is to call out a people for his name. Mm-hmm. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God.
So, is Billy Graham saying that people who are Buddhists and atheists and Muslims without a salvation experience are part of the body of Christ? It kind of sounds like that's what he's saying.
They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have. And they turn to the only light that they have. And I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
I think that they are saved based on a feeling in their heart. Is that how people get saved? I don't think that's how people get saved. People get saved by the preaching of the word. People get saved by the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God. It was said about the Apostle Paul in Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. And he said that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, right? Titus 1:3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. But you have Billy Graham saying that people are getting saved and being added to the body of Christ because they have a desire, a nameless, shapeless, formless desire in their heart. Is that how people get saved in the church age?
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is.
There's a wideness in God's mercy. There's a wideness in God's mercy. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
And since that time, the whole relationship between me and my work and you and your work and the Roman Catholic Church has changed.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Billy Graham is now going to talk about how his outlook on the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope changed over the years. Okay? Listen to this.
They open their arms and welcome us, and we have the support of the Catholic Church almost everywhere we go. And I think that we must come to the place where we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and not on what denomination or what church or what group we belong to. Why?
So you heard Billy Graham, and this would have been about 1978, 1980, and he's telling Robert Schuller that he has the support of the Roman Catholic Church wherever he goes. You know, it's funny. When I got saved, and I told you guys that I was a lifelong Catholic before I got saved. I was an altar boy for 3 years. I went to 12 years of private Franciscan and Jesuit schools. And when I got saved, the news got back to the two priests that knew me from grade school, St. Mary's School in Pompton Lakes. And Father Mike called me up on the phone one day, and he said, "I've heard that you're really on fire for God. I would like you to come into the church. We want to talk with you." So I did, and I went in to see Father Mike and Father Kevin, and they said to me, now, my mom was the librarian at the school that was attached to the church, and she worked there as the librarian for 20 years. So Father Mike said to me, "I hear you're really on fire for God. I've been talking it over with Father Kevin, and we would like you to teach a young people's Bible study." And I was a little bit shocked by that. But I was brand new in my faith. I had been saved for under a year. So I listened to everything that they had to say, and I thought about it, and I'm you know, asking God to give me wisdom about it. And I turned to Father Mike and I said, "Okay, I would be very happy to teach a Bible study at the church under one condition." And he turned to me and said, "What's the condition?" And I said that if a question comes up, I'm going to let them talk. I'm going to give my perspective on it. But we're going to let the Bible have the last word. Well, his face immediately fell, and he looked sad. He looked at Father Kevin. Father Kevin looked back at Father Mike, and Kevin turned to me and said, "Come here, I want to show you something." And he brought me into the library, and it was a small library, but probably, I don't know, 200 books. And many of these books were beautiful, burgundy and dark green covers with gold lettering and gold trim. I mean, they really look beautiful. And Father Kevin points to all those books. He puts his hand on some of them. And he looks at me and he says, "You see these books?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is what we want you to teach." And I was a brand new baby Christian. I said, "What are these books?" And he says, "It's the early church fathers," meaning the Roman Catholic fathers. "They don't teach the Bible at Catholic Church. I went there for 30 years. They mention the Bible. What they teach is Roman Catholic theology." And when I said to him, let's let the Bible have the last word, he knew what I was saying, and I was not invited back. So the point of what I'm telling you is that when you hear Billy Graham saying, we have the full support of the Roman Catholic Church, my question is, how is that possible? I didn't have the support of the church that I had attended for 30 years and gone to their school for 8 years. And my mother was the librarian at that school for 20 years. I lost their support by saying one sentence that will let the Bible have the last word. So how is it possible that Billy Graham is actually preaching and teaching the Bible, and yet he has the full support of the Roman Catholic Church? Well, let's continue and maybe we'll figure it out.
Is the fastest growing religion in the world.
The tremendous discipline that they have in Islam, in the sense that there's a judgment if you do wrong, and there's the tremendous hope that people have if you are Islamic. Suppose you die on a battlefield fighting for Islam. The promises they give you for the first 1,000 years would make any young man say, well, I think that's what I'd like to have. They have so many things. And I think Islam is misunderstood, too, because Muhammad had a great respect for Jesus. And he called Jesus the greatest of the prophets except himself.
Woo boy. Now, you want to know where Chrislam comes from? There's Billy Graham planting the seeds. There's Billy Graham planting the seeds 50 years ago, talking about Islam, talking about what strong faith that they have. My, my, my. He sounds a whole lot like Rick Warren, who we're going to get to in just a minute. Why is Billy Graham talking about how wonderful the Islam religion is? You know what the Quran says? The Quran says, say not that Allah hath a son. Do you know that Muhammad's Quran denies that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God? Did you know that? Let me give you Islam fact number one. The Quran denies that Jesus ever went to the cross to pay for anybody's sin. And I'm going to read Quran 4:157. This is Quran 4:157. And for their saying, indeed, we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but another was made to resemble him to them. And indeed, those who differ over it are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except the following of assumption, and they did not kill him for certain. So, fun fact about Islam number one, they deny that Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and buried, and risen again on the third day according to the scriptures. They deny the gospel. Okay? Fun fact about Islam number two. And let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed therein. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then it is those who are the defiantly disobedient. Well, now we have a problem. In one place, Allah is recorded as saying that it's a fact that Jesus never died on the cross. But in the very next chapter, the Quran is telling people to, he is telling the Christians to judge by what the Gospels say. And Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, you know what John says? John says that whosoever that denies that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. There's a gospel tract by Chick, which you should definitely get your hands on. And it's called Allah Has No Son. And that's exactly what Islam teaches. Why isn't Billy Graham calling out Islam in this interview?
And I think that we're closer to Islam than we really think we are.
That capitalism is not necessarily compulsory in a Christian society.
No, like, not at all. It's I've been to all the socialist countries, especially the communist-dominated countries in the world, and somehow we, and I explain in the book how we managed to get into those countries and how we managed to be received by the government and how they backed us in our meetings before the wall ever came down.
Do you hear what Billy Graham is saying? He is saying that he went to all the socialist and communist countries. He was allowed to come in and preach the gospel and had the full support of these communist and socialist countries. How is that possible?
And I was received in nearly all the communist countries, including the Russia and the Soviet Union. And people were amazed, and they wondered how that could happen.
In 1957, the New York Crusade really clarified in a way that the fact that there was a difference between evangelical and fundamentalist in that sense. And you said we'd had enough of the big stick, as it were, of fundamentalism, and we needed the big glove of evangelicalism or evangelism. There is a division between those two words that people still don't altogether understand.
Well, it's certainly true here in this country. There's a difference between the fundamentalist, who is a person who takes a stand on certain controversial issues and won't move from that stand, and there's an intolerance. And I felt that God had called me to love all people, whatever church they went to, whether it's Catholic or Protestant or who, and work with them. And today we have almost 100% Catholic support in this country. That was not true even 20 years ago.
Billy Graham, you just heard him say that we have 100% Catholic support in this country. And again, I ask you, if Billy Graham is teaching and preaching the actual Bible, how can he have the support of the Roman Catholic Church when my own Roman Catholic Church wouldn't allow me to teach a Bible study there because I said we stand on the Bible? So I'm not slandering Billy Graham when I, so far you have listened to him say he has the full support of the Roman Catholic Church. He has the full support of socialist and communist countries. He thinks that Islam is a noble and courageous religion and that Muslims have great ideals. Why doesn't he say, you know, all he had to say was, without Jesus Christ, no man will enter into heaven? Why doesn't Billy Graham say that? Why doesn't Billy Graham go to John chapter 3 and say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? But you see, that's not what Billy Graham was all about. He was all about connecting Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and apostates and Buddhists and atheists, and not seeing them get saved, but finding ways to work together without that offensive gospel being preached. Because you know what? It is the gospel that separates people. And Jesus said exactly that. He said, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace?" He said, "No, no, no. I have come to bring a sword." And what is that sword? Well, somebody post Hebrews 4:12 in the chat room, and you will see what that sword is. And that sword is the gospel. And so what Billy Graham did with each passing decade, he watered it down and watered it down and watered it down, and he stopped saying things that offended lost people. That's how he had all the cooperation. That's how he had all the support of the Roman Catholic Church, is because he compromised the message.
And the bishops and archbishops and the Pope is our friend. And we have plans on the way now for a couple events that will probably be world news about our relationship with the Roman Catholic Church. And because there's so much that we have in common, and so much of what we believe. They believe in Christ. They believe in the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection.
And 1982, you got involved in peace with your trip to Russia. And you said that you really have had three conversions in your life. The first one with Christ. The second, your determination to work for racial justice. And starting with the rallies in the South and so on. And then the third, your commitment to work for world peace.
All right, so Billy Graham had three conversions in his life. First one, he got saved. And I'm not saying that look, there are some people who say that Billy Graham was not saved. I don't say that. I believe he got saved. He got saved on the King James Bible. And Ephesians chapter 1, 12 through 14 tell me that he was sealed unto the day of redemption. But I believe that Satan got in and began to use Billy Graham. We did an article. I wrote this back in 2020. It's called "How Satan Used Billy Graham to Broker a Covenant Between the Warring Factions of Christianity and Usher in the Apostate Laodicean Church Age." In 1974, Billy Graham joined forces with the social gospel preacher John Stott at a global meeting that they called the Lausanne Movement. Now, when you see and understand what happened after the Lausanne Movement, it could just have easily and as accurately been called the Laodicean Movement. In 1948, after the establishment or the reestablishment of the Nation of Israel, Billy Graham was asked, "What do you expect the World Council of Churches to do this August when they visit Copenhagen?" Billy Graham replied, and this is just days after Israel was regathered as a nation on May 14th, 1948. Billy Graham said, and he was excited when he said it, he said, "I believe they are going to nominate the Antichrist." But within just 20 years after, he said that the World Council of Churches in 1948, when he was still on fire for God, was going to nominate the Antichrist. He began to attend in the early 1960s the World Council of Churches meetings, and then he became the president of the World Council of Churches. On March 8th of 1979, Billy Graham said about the Pope, he will be warmly greeted because he's such a down-to-earth, fun-loving man who creates friends wherever he goes. That's fine. And then he said, I firmly feel Pope John Paul II will be the most respected pope of the century, and he will become the moral leader of the world. Now, who talks like that? Do Bible believers talk about that? Talk like that? They do not. If you believe that any pope is a great moral leader of the world, then you don't know your Bible. On December 19th of 1988, in an interview with U.S. News and World Report, Graham said, world travel and getting to know clergy of all denominations has helped mold me into an ecumenical being. We are separated by theology, but all of that means nothing to me anymore. Well, isn't that interesting? We are separated by theology, but that means nothing to me now. You know what? You should be separated by theology. If you have Christian friends who have bad theology, you shouldn't be going to church with them. You should be trying to teach them the Bible. You shouldn't be joining hands with them. In 1987, in an interview with the Rocky Mountain News, the editor wrote, many Roman Catholics walked the aisles during Graham's 1965 crusade. In the 1987 crusade, which ends tomorrow, Catholics were waiting to help Catholics express their new and renewed faith in their mother church. Now, what gospel is Billy Graham preaching that causes a Roman Catholic to walk down the aisle and come out with a stronger faith in the Vatican than they had before they heard Graham preach? That is not Bible preaching. That is Laodicean nonsense. 1989, a letter from Reverend Michael Seed, the ecumenical advisor to Cardinal Hume. Some 2,100 Catholics went forward at the missions evening in London, which was excellent. Billy Graham has helped our Roman Catholic Church greatly, and many have renewed their faith under his great ministry. Now, let me tell you something. I personally know somebody in Jacksonville, Florida, who in the 1980s had volunteered to be on the committee to welcome in Billy Graham to Jacksonville for a preaching service. And this person that I know personally sat in a meeting where they were told that when Billy Graham gives the invitation, we're going to need 100 people to come forward and kneel and pray to get saved. Not talking about lost people, talking about saved people pretending to get saved to encourage other people. How do you encourage somebody to get saved with a lie? Now, again, this is not slander that I'm giving you. This is the truth about Billy Graham.
I mean, those were the three stages, were they?
They were, but there's another one, and that is for the social betterment of people. For example, to help the homeless and the hungry and the starving and the people that have been in disaster areas. And we have set up an entire organization that is run by our organization.
And again, there's nothing wrong with helping the homeless. I work with the homeless. Now the End Begins donates to various homeless and single mom shelters in St. Augustine, but we do it with the gospel as well as with money. One more clip on Billy Graham.
What do you think of, like, Mormonism, Catholicism, other faiths within the Christian concept?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I have wonderful fellowship with all of them.
Are you comfortable with Salt Lake City? You're comfortable with the Vatican?
Oh, I'm very comfortable with the Vatican. I've been to see the Pope several times. And in fact, the day that he was inaugurated or made Pope, I was preaching in his cathedral in Krakow. I was his guest.
You were preaching in his church the day he was made Pope.
That is.
So, I just want you to understand what you just listened to. In 1988, Larry King is interviewing Billy Graham, and he says, how do you feel about Mormons? How do you feel about Jehovah's Witnesses? How do you feel about Roman Catholics? Did you hear what Billy Graham said? I'm going to play it one more time just to make sure that you actually heard it.
What do you think of, like, Mormonism, Catholicism, other faiths within the Christian concept?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I have wonderful fellowship with all of them.
Comfortable with Salt Lake City? You're comfortable with the Vatican?
Oh, I'm very comfortable with the Vatican. I've been to see the Pope several times. And in fact, the day that he was inaugurated or made Pope, I was preaching in his cathedral in Krakow. I was his guest.
You were preaching in his church the day he was made Pope.
That is correct. In Krakow.
Wow. Now, you must have been shocked.
Of course I was. There was shouting on the streets, you know, the next day. Polish Pope. And I knew it wasn't Wyszynski. I'd just been with him in Warsaw, where I'd received an honorary doctorate. From the school there. And my next stop was in Krakow.
Now, hold on a second here. Is it just me? Am I the only person hearing, I have wonderful fellowship with the Mormons and the Roman Catholics, and I'm preaching for the Pope, and we're great friends, and we travel the world? Is anybody else hearing Billy Graham saying these unbelievable things? It's a rhetorical question. I know you're hearing it. But it really, really, I mean, it shocks me. Because I know that after this broadcast, people are going to email me and they're going to say, you know, you're slandering his great ministry, and my dad got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. Yeah, a lot of people got saved in the early days of Billy Graham. A lot of people continue to get saved. God is not bound. God, look, if you find a diamond ring in a dumpster and people have found great treasure in trash, if you find a diamond ring in a dumpster, does it make it a jewelry store? If you find $20 bill in the gutter, does it make the gutter an ATM machine? No, it doesn't. The point of what I'm saying is, as Billy Graham went into the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, he formed a relationship, a very Laodicean relationship, with the Roman Catholic Church. He started preaching that Islam isn't all that much different than Christianity, and the Quran is not all that much different from the Bible. And all these things began to set the stage for what led to the opening of the Abrahamic Family House yesterday. Take a listen to this clip. It's only 43 seconds long, so you're going to have to listen fast. Billy Graham saying that there's no flames in hell.
But I want to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. There are three words that describe hell in the Bible for me. One is fire. For our God is a consuming fire, says Hebrews 12. But the Bible also teaches that fire is used symbolically. It says our tongues are set on fire of hell. That doesn't mean literal combustion in James. It's symbolic. And Jesus used this symbol over and over. I believe that the fire is a thirst for Almighty God that can never be quenched. You'll go out into eternity thirsting for God, and you can never find him. And you can never find the fulfillment that you missed in this life.
Well, well, well. Doesn't that make hell sound kind of not so bad? I read the verses to you at the start of the program. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, Revelation 14:10, and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up. I mean, come on, Billy Graham. How about this from Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus? Luke 16:22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, not in Hades, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this symbolic separation from God. No, for I am tormented in my lack of Bible understanding, and have been cast away to the nether region. No. For I am tormented in this flame. So, you have Billy Graham. He sets the stage. And the two things that Billy Graham did is he made a bridge between Christianity and the Roman Catholic Church. And that gave rise to a whole generation of Christians who would see Catholics as just another branch of Christianity. I was a Roman Catholic for 30 years. If you're listening to this program and you're a Roman Catholic, I'm not against you, I'm for you. We see Roman Catholics get saved on a fairly regular basis. I got saved out of Roman Catholicism. But make no mistake about it. The Roman Catholic Church is the harlot from Revelation 17. Revelation 18. It is the false counterfeit system. You need to come out of it. You do not need to be confirmed in it. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So, Billy Graham set the stage for Chrislam. And then, the torch was passed. You have Billy Graham and Pope John Paul II. And then you have this guy.
Authenticity, humility. Pope Francis is the perfect example of this. He's doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. And as our new pope, he was very, very symbolic in, you know.
Stop right there, Rick Warren. What do you mean, our new pope? Christians don't have a pope. Christians have never had a pope. Christians never will have a pope. So why, Rick Warren, are you saying that this is our pope? Before I answer that question, here's another really short clip. It's only 54 seconds long. I want you to listen to this fond recollection that a Roman Catholic priest has when he recalls the time that Rick Warren taught him Roman Catholic doctrine. Take a listen to the testimony of this Catholic priest.
By the way, I got to tell you the story. A couple of years ago, I was part of a small group of Catholic leaders who met with the Protestant pastor, Rick Warren, in Saddleback Church. And there was 30 of us in the room, and he came in. And sometimes people, I hear a lot of Catholics say, oh, Rick Warren, you know, big mega church, those Americans, blah, 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 blah. This guy's the real deal, I got to tell you. He's a beautiful, humble man, holy man, incredibly gifted. He sat down, I was sitting in the front row, and he was actually closer to me than you are. And he leaned forward and pulled out of his back pocket of his jeans a dog-eared, tattered, first edition copy of Evangelii Nuncianti. And he opened it up and he started to teach us from Pope Paul VI. And I was kind of looking and I could see it was all underlined and writings in the comma and highlighted. It was amazing. So this was an amazing document. And
So here you have this Roman Catholic priest who was part of a contingent and went to meet with Rick Warren. And Rick Warren, according to this Roman Catholic priest, reaches into his back pocket and pulls out a book written by Pope Pius VI. And the Catholic priest is shocked that it's his copy of that book has notes and underlining and highlighting, and the copy of the outside of the book is dog-eared, which means it's been read over and over and over. Why didn't Rick Warren pull out a copy of the Gospel of John and read to him how to get saved? Why didn't Rick Warren take out a copy of the Book of Romans and read to him from Romans chapter 9 and 10 and show the Roman Catholic priests how to get saved? Why? Well, because Rick Warren is following in the footsteps of Billy Graham. Take a listen to something called Rick Warren's Peace Plan. And this goes back all the way to 2008. And Rick Warren's going to show you what he did when the baton of Chrislam was passed from Billy Graham to him.
I could take you to 10 million villages around the world. The only thing in it's church. And I could take it to millions of villages around the world where the only thing in it's a mosque. There are more boots on the ground there. And hundreds of millions of people volunteer through their spiritual base on a weekly basis. What if we were able to mobilize that for these big issues? Sitting on the ground there, I came up with a plan we called the Peace Plan, P-E-A-C-E. Promote reconciliation, that's the P. Equip leaders, that's the E. Assist the poor. Care for the sick. Educate the next generation. We've been doing this now for 6 years. And we're doing it with anybody who wants to work. In fact, I've found we're more willing to work with people than people are willing to work with us. And you know what? My attitude is you don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. And you can disagree without being disagreeable. And this is what Barack Obama and I happened to agree on. 3 years ago, I took enormous heat for inviting Barack Obama to Saddleback Church because he had some views that people in my church would disagree with.
I'm just going to stop Pastor Rick Warren right there. The book of Amos says this. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You just heard Rick Warren said that they can disagree and they can still walk together. The Bible says you cannot.
And so what? And now, 3 years later, he's invited me to the inauguration. That's been a big deal. But you know what? I didn't come here to talk about that. But the point I want to make is, here are two guys who said, we have to restore civility to civilization. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the world is getting ruder. It's getting more mean. It's getting more hateful. I don't have a right to hate anybody, even if they hate me. I am commanded to love them. And so we have to just work on the stuff we can agree on together. Now, here is my challenge to you as leaders an impact. And you're a leader because you're here tonight. The very fact that you're here means that you are a Muslim leader. Uh-huh. And I honor you for that.
Uh-huh.
I was asked the other day, what do you pray for the president? And I said, I pray for the president the same thing that I pray for myself. Integrity, humility, and generosity.
All right, that's enough of that. He should have prayed that Obama got saved, but that's really kind of beside the point. Take a listen to this. I got to go fast now because we only got 20 minutes left. Rick Warren, something called A Common Word.
I come to you today with a spirit of love and a spirit of friendship, a spirit of deep respect. I love my dear, dear Muslim friends, my next door neighbor, and so many that are friends. And I love you. Now, dear friends, as globalization draws us closer and closer together, one of the most pressing questions we have to ask ourselves is how do we deal with our deepest differences? It is a fundamental question we have to wrestle with. How do we live together in peace and harmony? And not only that, how can we actually work together, maintaining our separate traditions, maintaining our convictions without compromise, but working together for the greater good of everybody in the world?
So there you have Rick Warren. In 2002, he started what he called his peace plan. Then he wrote something called A Common Word. Now take a listen to this. Interfaith projects.
I was asked to speak to you about how can Muslims and Christians work closer together for the greater good in our world. And I will tell you that I'm not interested in interfaith dialogue. I am interested in interfaith projects. There's a big difference. Talk is very cheap. And you can talk and talk and talk and never get anything done. Love is something you do. It's something that we do together. Love is a verb. Now, as the two largest faiths on this planet, Muslims and Christians, we must lead in this. We must lead with over 1 billion Muslims and over 2 billion Christians together as half the world. We have to do something about modeling what it means to live in peace, to live in harmony. And there are a lot of things that we could do together, but I tonight just quickly like to mention four things that I reach my hand out to you and say, can we work together on these things together? I believe we can. I know we can.
All right. I'm rapidly coming to my fill of Rick Warren, but I got to play one more. I got to play one more Rick Warren. Here you have Rick Warren, also in the year 2008. And guess where Rick Warren is giving this little talk from? He is with Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum. So here you have Rick Warren on a panel with Klaus Schwab, 2008, at the World Economic Forum. Take a listen to what he said.
On the web, Rick.
All right, I got 1 minute, and I'll answer four questions with, like, one word. The question over here was, what is the government's role? One role, freedom of religion. Promote freedom of religion. The person over here who asked about the millennial goals, I met last month with Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to talk about faith-based organizations working with the UN on this. And later you should talk to Tony Blair, who's just formed a foundation. He's much too humble to talk about it on this very issue. To my brother, Islamic brother here from Italy, I would say, I'm not really interested in interfaith dialogue. I'm interested in interfaith projects. We got enough talk. So 2 weeks ago, or a few weeks ago at Georgetown University, we brought in three imams, we brought in three Catholic priests, we brought in three evangelical pastors, and we brought in three rabbis, and we said, what can we do about AIDS?
Stop right there. I got to get that, you know, like when you watch those old Bugs Bunny cartoons and Bugs Bunny or Wile E. Coyote. They'll come to a sudden stop and their feet will make that sound of screeching of brakes. I got to get that audio clip for moments like this. I'm going to rewind this clip. You just heard yesterday in Abu Dhabi, the Abrahamic family house just opened up, financed by Mohammed bin Zayed, in connection with their relationship with Pope Francis from the Roman Catholic Church. And the Abrahamic family house has a mosque, a synagogue, and a church. I'm going to rewind this clip and take a listen to what Rick Warren just said on a stage with Klaus Schwab in 2008 at the World Economic Forum.
Donna Wedrick.
All right, I got 1 minute, and I'll answer four questions with, like, one word. The question over here was, what is the government's role? One role, freedom of religion. Promote freedom of religion. The person over here who asked about the millennial goals, I met last month with Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to talk about faith-based organizations working with the UN on this. And later you should talk to Tony Blair, who's just formed a foundation. He's much too humble to talk about it on this very issue.
Here he comes.
My brother, Islamic brother here from Italy.
I would Wait say, for
I'm
it.
Not really interested in interfaith dialogue. I'm interested in interfaith projects.
And
we got enough talk.
Come on.
So 2 weeks ago, or a few weeks ago at Georgetown University, we brought in three imams. We brought in three Catholic priests. We brought in three evangelical pastors. And we brought in three rabbis. And we said, what can...
All right. Yesterday, the Abrahamic family house opened up. And you guessed it. A church, a mosque, a synagogue. This is exactly what Billy Graham spent decades working towards. This is exactly what Rick Warren spent decades working towards. You think this stuff just happens randomly? You think it just comes up out of nowhere? You know what the Bible says also in the book of Amos? Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, obviously, his secret is the coming king and the coming kingdom. Jesus Christ, King of King and Lord of Lords. Obviously, in the context, that's his secret. But I believe with all my heart that God saves us, seals us, and sets us on the battlefield, and gives us his preserved word. And he, if we are willing to want to get something done for him, for his kingdom, he's going to give us the heads up. Just like he put on my heart 12 years ago to start writing about something that I called Chrislam, that nobody knew what it was. Everybody knows today what Chrislam is. One more Rick Warren clip, and this may be the most astonishing of them all, because, and I'm only going to play the first minute, but I found this video on, I think it was the Rome Reports YouTube channel, or it was, no, it was the Eternal Word Network, EWTN, and this is a 2.5 minute spot. It's a video of Rick Warren being paid by the Vatican to promote the Catholic Church. Take a listen to Rick Warren defending Catholicism.
We have far more in common than what divides us. When you talk about Pentecostals, Charismatics, evangelicals, fundamentalists, Catholics, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, on and on and on. Well, they would all say, we believe in the Trinity, we believe in the Bible, we believe in the resurrection, we believe salvation is through Jesus Christ. These are the big issues.
The Bible says in James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Sometimes Protestants think that Catholics worship Mary like she's another god. But that's not exactly Catholic doctrine. There's the understanding, and people say, well, what are the saints all about? Why are you praying to the saints? And when you understand what they mean by what they're saying, there's a whole lot more commonality. Now, there's still real differences. No doubt about that. But the most important thing is, if you love Jesus, we're on the same team. The unity that I think we would see realistically is not a structural unity, but a unity of mission. And so when it comes to the family, we are co-workers in the field on this for the protection of what we call the sanctity of life, the sanctity of sex, and the sanctity of marriage. So there's a great commonality, and there's no division on any of those three. Many times people have been beaten down for taking a biblical stance, and they start to feel, well, maybe I'm out here all by yourself. No, you're not. The church is growing in Latin America. The church is growing in Asia.
When he says the church is growing in Latin America and the church is growing in Asia, he's talking about the Catholic Church. So, are you starting to see where the one world religion of Chrislam came from? And I may go about 10 minutes over today, if that's okay with you guys, because I do have a little bit more that I need to talk about. But you can see the work that Billy Graham put in to build these connections with the Roman Catholic Church and to build these connections with Islam. And then, of course, Rick Warren steps up to the plate. And Pope John Paul II dies. And then Benedict becomes Pope. And then he mysteriously decides to retire. And then in his place comes Pope Francis. And that's the Pope that Rick Warren calls our Pope. Well, guess what? He's not my Pope. And in 2019, let me tell you about what happened. And we reported on this February 25th of 2019. And in the next 15 minutes, let me tie all of this together for you. An amazing thing happened in Abu Dhabi. Pope Francis, if you remember back in 2019, that was the year that brought us Event 201 with Bill Gates and the start of the pandemic. Also, in that same year, in the beginning of 2019, Pope Francis embarked on his Middle Eastern tour. And he went to the land of Abraham, and he went to Abu Dhabi, and he met with Sheikh Al-Tayeb. And Al-Tayeb is the highest ranking Sunni Muslim in the Middle East. And when he got there, he brought with him something called a document on the Declaration of Human Fraternity. And that document, which I call the covenant, was signed. It was sealed by a kiss on the mouth between Pope Francis and Al-Tayeb. And there was a man who was a silent witness to the signing of this. A man who stood and watched it all take place. And I'm going to put that picture into the chat room right now. And you tell me who the man on the left-hand side of this picture is. It's kind of a rhetorical question if you come here a lot. Who is the man on the left side of that picture? In the middle, you have Pope Francis. On the right-hand side, you have Sheikh Al-Tayeb. But who is the man all the way on the left-hand side? That is Mohammed bin Zayed, who in 2023 is the most powerful man in the Middle East. He is the wealthiest man in the Middle East. And guess what Pope Francis did after that document was signed? Pope Francis launched something called his Committee of Higher Human Fraternity. Pope Francis called it his Committee of Higher Committee of Human Fraternity. And guess who he appointed as the leader of this Committee of Human Fraternity to carry what was contained in that document to the entire world? Mohammed bin Zayed. Mohammed bin Zayed, now here's where it's going to blow your mind. Pope Francis is the one who says that he wrote that document. Yesterday on Twitter, a high-ranking Muslim website posted that it was the Emirati world that created that document. Mohammed bin Zayed worked with Pope Francis and sold this conglomeration of Roman Catholicism with Islam, signed, sealed, and delivered. Pope Francis created the committee, the Higher Committee of Human Fraternity, and he appointed Mohammed bin Zayed as the leader of that committee. Mohammed bin Zayed, as his first order of business, said he was going to build in Abu Dhabi, he was going to build a great structure that would usher in the era of world peace. And what did Mohammed bin Zayed call this structure? He called it the Abrahamic Family House. The Abrahamic Family House opened up yesterday. Do you know what happened in August of 2020? In August of 2020, a document was brought to Donald Trump. That document was brought to Donald Trump by Jared Kushner. But Jared Kushner did not write the document. Donald Trump did not write the document. The document was called, drumroll please, the document was called the Abraham Accord. Not plural. It was the Abraham Accord singular. Donald Trump did not write it. He rubber stamped it. Jared Kushner took credit for it, but he did not write it. He did not create it. So who is the author of the original Abraham Accord? Well, if you guessed Mohammed bin Zayed, you guessed correctly. Mohammed bin Zayed is the author of the Abraham Accord. Have you wondered why Jared Kushner is not part of his father-in-law's re-election campaign? Have you ever wondered why Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump were not there on the night that Donald Trump announced he was going to run for president? Jared Kushner, since signing the Abraham Accords, what was his payoff? Well, what if I told you $2 billion with a B dollars? $2 billion. And where did that $2 billion come from? He formed a hedge fund called Affinity Partners. And you can just Google Jared Kushner Affinity Partners. And where did those billions with a B dollars come from? They came from the same people who created the Declaration of Human Fraternity. Comes from the same people that created the Abrahamic Family House. And it comes from the same person who authored the Abraham Accords, Mohammed bin Zayed. Yesterday, Mohammed bin Zayed kept his word, and they opened up the Abrahamic Family House. Now, I want you to think for just a moment. I have been overwhelming you with information. And believe me, I could go another 3 hours with the stuff that I have. But yesterday, they opened up the Abrahamic Family House, paid for by Mohammed bin Zayed in Abu Dhabi. And we are 2.5 years into the Abraham Accords. Israel has signed on. 7 Muslim nations have signed on. And more are signing on every single year. Turn to Psalm 83. Turn to Psalm 83. And I want to show you what I believe this psalm is talking about. Psalm 83. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. They have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And then it lists a bunch of Muslim nations. You see the word Selah in verse 8, which shows you that that carries into the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. Abraham Accords, Declaration of Human Fraternity. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Now turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, Matthew 24:15, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that shall be determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The covenant that the Antichrist confirms, I believe, is the Abraham Accords. And it's going to be confirmed at the Abrahamic Family House. Look at Daniel 9:2. Daniel chapter 9 is the start of Daniel's great insight into the end times. But look at what Daniel was reading when he got his great vision and the angel showed up. Daniel 9:2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Are you starting to see what's happening? Are you starting to see what Chrislam is all about? Are you starting to see what the Abrahamic Family House is going to be used for? Jeremiah 29, verses 10 and 11. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is the expected end? It's the kingdom of heaven on earth, with Jesus as king, ruling and reigning from the throne of Daniel, David, his father, that you read about in Luke 1:32 and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. But look at Jeremiah chapter 30. This is how God gives the Jewish people their expected end. For thus saith the Lord. You know, we say as Christians, cross now, crown later. And that's very true. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him pick up his cross daily and come follow me. If you want the crown later, you got to have the cross now. Well, when God redeems his Jewish people, he's going to give them the expected end of the kingdom of heaven. But in order to get to that point, it all goes through Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 through 7. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail? Men giving babies. I wonder what time period that might be. Wherefore do I, it's rhetorical. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, let me close with this. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:3. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Talking about the midpoint of the time of Jacob's trouble. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, not upon us. Paul says we are not appointed unto wrath, but appointed to salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. For when they shall say peace and safety, not us, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, not upon us, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, give me 5 minutes. We are over the 2-hour mark. Give me 5 more minutes and let me wrap it all up for you. The Apostle Paul is talking with Timothy. He says, preach the word, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. In 1885, you have the Revised Standard Version, the Revised Version Bible. And that begins the beginning of the Laodicean church. And then you get into the 20th century. You have Billy Graham, who was led to Christ under Mordecai Ham, who got saved under D.L. Moody. You have Billy Graham, who starts out so strong, so good, King James only. But by 1985, Billy Graham is promoting the NIV Bible, and he's being paid for it. By 1985, Billy Graham is a spokesman for the Vatican. He calls Pope John Paul II the moral authority on the face of this earth. He said, now I finally have somebody that I can listen to who has real authority. Billy Graham and Pope John Paul, they give way to Rick Warren and Pope Francis. That gives way to Mohammed bin Zayed and Pope Francis. That results in the signing of the Declaration of Human Fraternity, which created the Committee for Higher Human Fraternity, which created the Abraham Accords, which created the Abrahamic Family House. And here we are. We are in the closing moments of the closing moments. Now listen to me. If you only remember one thing that I tell you, I want you to remember this. I started this program not patting ourselves on the back, but by taking a victory lap, because God put something on my heart 12 years ago that was so far out of field, that was so obscure, that every time I wrote about it, I had to explain it. And in 2023, it is the one world religion of Chrislam with a multi-million dollar palace consisting of a synagogue, a mosque, and a church. And I am telling you that you are looking at the one world religion, and the only thing that that religion is waiting for, it is waiting for the man of sin to step out of the shadows. We're gonna fly. And he's going to become the son of perdition, and he's going to walk in and sit down at that Abrahamic family house. And let me tell you something, Christian, you are watching it take place. You are watching it happen right here, right now. It was opened yesterday. The Abraham Accords are leading Israel into the Psalm 83 deception. The temple is about to be rebuilt, and you and I are about to get out of here. Now, you listen to me, and you listen to me good. This is something that when I think about this ministry and I think about where the Lord has taken this from a tiny little blog that I had to wait 3 months for somebody even to comment on something I wrote, to one of the most visited end times websites in the world. And God has given us a Bible program to send out King James Bibles and New Testaments and scripture portions. I have like a dozen orders for thousands of Bibles in my email box. I want you to help us to send those Bibles out. I am telling you, the one world religion, it's not coming, it is here. His headquarters opened up yesterday. A phony revival is beginning to sweep the nation. UFOs are being shot out of the sky. Can you see it? Do you know where you are? Do you believe that book, that precious book? Do you believe the scripture of truth? Do you believe that we have a more sure word of prophecy? I've been writing about the Laodicean church and Chrislam for 14 years, and it is coming true, not because I'm a prophet, because I'm not. I'm just a saved, wretched sinner who believes a book that God wrote and God preserved, and he allowed me to have a copy of that book. He allowed me to get saved. And we are watching all these things coming to pass. I want us as the NTEB family, if you're not coming to the camp meeting, pray for the camp meeting. But I want you to come to the camp meeting. This just may be the springtime where the rapture takes place. If it doesn't, hey, I am all in. I can keep going. But I have never seen the fulfillment of prophecy happening at the level that it's happening right now. What does Habakkuk say? Habakkuk 1:5. That's the verse that we anointed as our foundational verse back in 2020 when things started getting crazy. Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously. Why? For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. I've been shouting about Chrislam for 12 years. Now the whole world sees the one world religion. Now people used to tell me that I was crazy. And I would say, why am I crazy? Don't you know that Muslims and Catholics never will work together and can never work together. That's what people told me 10 years ago, 5 years ago. How silly does that sound now when you see Pope Francis creating Chrislam? How silly does that sound that the Vatican and Islam will never get together? They've been together for 4 years. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you believe your Bible? Don't believe me. Open up that book and check me out. But I believe that book. And I've been saved for 32 years. And I've been doing Now the End Begins. This is year number 14. And everything that we said was coming is coming. And the vast majority is already here. It is here right now. How much more time do we have? People ask me all the time, when do I think the rapture is going to take place? I give the same answer every time. I am on daily standby. I wake up in the morning. I say, God, thank you for giving me another day. Please come and take me today. Take us in the rapture or just take me personally. My bags are packed, my passport stamped in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am ready to fly and go. But if God just wants to take me personally, I'm ready to go with that too. And at the end of every day, when I drive home, I look up at the sky. I say, maybe today, Lord, maybe today. So when do I think the rapture is? I am on day-to-day standby, and I don't care how many more days I have to wait. Because while I wait, I'm going to preach and teach the glorious gospel of the grace of God as found in the King James Bible. While I wait, I'm going to work to see lost souls get saved. And while I wait, I'm going to do my best to spark some holy revival fire in lukewarm Laodicean people. And I am telling you, we need to band together like never before. We need to get out Bibles at a higher level. Last year we did over 100,000 Bibles, 105,000. If you believe what I'm talking about today, if you're one of those people who have answered the knock on the door from Revelation 3:20, I want you to donate to this ministry. Give us the resources that we need to send out another 100,000 Bibles this year. That's the only way we're going to do it. And come to the bookstore and help us to do it. There is nothing more important than handing out Bibles, God's preserved word, to a lost and dying world. I want you to pray for that program and pray for this ministry. And if God has prospered you, maybe you're one of those millionaire Christians that donated $1 million so that they could have that Laodicean Super Bowl commercial. Well, why don't you send us $1 million and we'll send out 500,000 King James Bibles? You don't think so? Call my bluff. We need to get something done. And in the coming days and coming weeks, we're going to ramp things up. I'm finally feeling better after my, it seems like forever, but my 6-week battle with COVID. I finally feel better. My fire has come back and I am ready to go. And as many of you as want to go with me, let's do it together. God, I'm always talking about our NTEB global family across America and around the world. Come and be a part of it. Be a part of what God is doing in these last days. Help us to send out 100,000 Bibles this year. We can't do it without you. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for these people. Thank you, Lord, for a Bible that we can trust, that we can step out into eternity on that book the King James Bible. And we thank you and we praise you. Give us power to preach and teach. Lord, give us an open door to send out more Bibles this year than we ever have before. And while we wait for Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines, give us everything we need, Lord, to get the work done that you called us to do. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, we have come to the end of our program. Please remember that there is no Sunday service. I'm meeting with the congregation at North City Baptist Church, and they're going to vote on whether or not to let us use their sanctuary. So no Sunday service. I'm actually going to give myself the day off because I could use it. but no Sunday service. But I need you guys to be praying that whatever happens, the congregation is going to vote. They've asked me to give a presentation on our ministry, and then they're going to vote on whether or not to let us use their sanctuary. So please keep that in your prayers. All I want is what God wants. If they say yes, that's great. If they say no, that's great too. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Monday for another Prophecy News podcast. And keep an eye out. I'm going to be watching all weekend long about the Abrahamic Family House and Chrislam and Mohammed bin Zayed. All of that is going to be on our radar. So have a great weekend, and we will see you back here Monday, noon Eastern time, for the Prophecy News podcast. Had to catch my breath. Have a great weekend, everybody. I love you guys. Yeah.